Hey, I want to take a minute and introduce us. I'm a photographer, and I'm also the leader of our ministry team here. So I'm the one who talks a lot, but we have other people who teach as well, and I love that. And so this picture over here is us. It's nice, huh? When I saw it, it was actually down at Animal Kingdom in Florida, and I saw that, and I photographed it thinking, man, this is us. And you're like, how can this be us? Well, if you look at the picture, you know, some of the cloth is in pretty good shape. Some of it's tattered and torn. Some of it, as the cables are all stretched and tied in to this massive airline cable. And that's what's giving this whole thing its strength and what it's hanging on. And in Ecclesiastes, it says, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And I looked at that and I was like, cord of three strands? We're a cord of a lot of strands in our church. And we're all at different places in our life, different places in our journeys, different places that we're trying to figure things out. And so there's none of us here that are perfect. There's none of us that have it figured out. But what we do is we've chosen to look into Christ to try to figure out how to best navigate life. Other people have decided that they are checking into Buddhism, or they're following this way or that way or whatever it is. We all choose. Bob Dylan said, you know, you're gonna have to serve somebody. You know, that was his thing. And so we here have chosen to use this Bible as our standard. So this summer, we're doing a series called God Never Said That. And we're actually doing it till September, into September, because partway through it, we're doing like 4 weeks that I'm really excited about. It's called Sharing Your Story, where people in our body, in our group, in our family, are going to share their story, where they're at, and how they got there, what they're living, and what their faith is like. And if that's something you would like to do, even if you're terrified of doing it right now and the thought scares you, talk to Victoria here, and she's this lady right here, and she will coordinate that and get that set up. And I am excited because probably during that session, we will have beautiful weather. Because I am convinced that I am bad luck Schleprock. Those of you who are too young to know this, you Google it. There was this cartoon of bad luck Schleprock, and a black cloud followed him around and rained on him all the time. And he would just say, wowsy, wowsy, woo, woo. And everything was just, and I'm starting to be convinced that I will know for sure next week if it's a nice sunny day and Roland gets to speak in the park. I'll be sitting there in the sunshine listening to Roland going, okay, I'll probably have that black cloud over my head. I'll still bring an umbrella. But the series, God never said that. We're going to look at some of the things that people say, some of the stuff that's out there that's just not in that Bible. It's just not there. It's either stuff that's been misconstrued, taken out of context, or whatever. And there's a whole bunch of them. Like, God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be happy. That's his primary goal. God, how about this one? Follow your heart. You got to follow your heart. That's Taylor Swift. That's not in here. God helps those who help themselves. God won't give you more than you can handle. It doesn't matter what you do, everything goes. It doesn't matter what you believe. We're all, it's all one mountain. You choose your path. If you don't know the date, I love this one. If you don't know the date and time that you was saved, brother, you're not saved. I'd be like, dude, I've been a pastor now for 10 years. I don't know the date and time. So, guys, I might not be saved. We got to figure out what that means. Well, what does saved mean? What are we saved from? What is that word? Jesus plus baptism to be saved. Jesus plus this to be saved. Jesus plus visiting people in prison to be saved. Jesus plus changes the equation. It's no longer Jesus. So it's either all grace or it's not. It's either all grace or it's all our performance. It's all behavior modification. And that's not what Scripture teaches. I think that sometimes our society is now getting all its ideas or its knowledge or its own theology from memes and quotes on our social media. Quick little snippets or, you know, History Channel, they had something about, they found something somewhere or you know, these specials that we're getting all that and that they shape our beliefs. This one. I'm sorry, Mr. Jensen, we're just two Facebook prayers away from saving your wife. You guys, seriously. How about, you know, if you love Jesus and want to go to heaven, you will share this. I'm like, nope. Dang it. I guess I'm not going. But that's not what the Bible says. It's like, and Jesus spake unto them, saying, share these memes 7 times, because I say 7 times, 70 times to share the meme will be, no, it's not there. It's not there. This one. When you live by faith and not by sight, just speed up a bit. You got this. You know, faith doesn't call you to be stupid. It doesn't call you to be stupid. The Bible says things like, count the cost, measure things carefully, figure out. Not a general doesn't go into war without counting how many troops he has. It's not, faith is not being stupid, okay? This one, when someone says, what would Jesus do? Remember, flipping over tables and chasing people with a whip is within the realm of possibilities. So I've seen this one, and while it's true, it's talking about how Jesus dealt with religious leaders and the system in the temple. It wasn't outside the church. So today, a lot of Christians are wagging their whips and flipping tables where they don't belong. And they're basing it on their meme theology. So I asked this morning, what do you believe? What do you believe? And what's your standard? Last night, I had a good conversation with a guy who came for dinner. And he was asking me, you know, what do you believe here at this church? And I said, well, I think everybody takes and they decide what their standard is and what they're going to base their life on. And what we believe is we believe in the wisdom and the aged, ancient scriptures that there's in the Bible. And we got to talking about, you know, how the Bible was formed and going back to the Nicene Council and the Council of Trent. And he was telling me all about some of the others that got excluded from the Bible. Well, you know what I did? I just smacked him with a hammer. No, I didn't. So many people now are like, we have to defend our faith, which means be a jerk and go nuts on this guy. No, we had a great conversation. I said, we talked about Tacitus. We talked about Josephus. We talked about the differences of why are these texts in Scripture and why are these not. And we talked about how the Bible, do you realize that the Bible, what the First Council did in that about 360 AD, what they did was they recognized the existing scriptures that were being carried around by 70 AD. Because there were a lot of people writing a lot of new books and saying, here, this one too, this one too, this one too. And so they did it as a way of protecting the core. They didn't just sit there and go, hey, any of you read some good books lately? Hey, well, yeah, that's, hey, Don read a good one. Let's put that one in. Let's put this one in. They didn't do that, all right? So we had a great conversation, but my point is, I didn't clobber him. I respected his beliefs, and we had a fantastic discussion. And he said, maybe I'll come check it out some week. I said, I hope you do. I hope you do, because it'll be a good chance to at least experience and grow and maybe understand another group and what they are focusing on. So most people have their beliefs shaped by Hollywood, the History Channel, and believe that this scripture, this Bible, there's a certain secret in it. It's like a secret code. Yeah, how about those wingnuts? Oh, sorry. Those guys who like use numbers, and they're always using it to pass their new book. We know, we've done the math, and if you add up Daniel 13 with Ezekiel this, and you take the 7 here, and you do this here, that means Jesus is coming on October 3rd, 2024. And I have it all right here in my new book for $19.99. There have been so many of these guys. And Jesus said in that book, no man knows the hour. He said he didn't even know the hour. And yet we have these wingnuts who are like, I figured it out. I figured the secret code out. And so we have writers who are doing great, making lots of money, and people are believing like that the Da Vinci Code is real. That Dan Brown, that he's a prophet. Like he's taking things and he's found out the secret, what were the Knights Templar doing and what. And I love him. I'm like, whoo, I love that movie. That was so cool. But it's not a secret code. I once had a pastor in a church that I served in who said, you know, we really need to learn to read in between the lines of Scripture. And I said, no. Yeah, there are things we can see contextually. There are things we can see by the time period. There are this. But there are no secret messages. Stop. And so many people want to know because we love mysteries. We love mysteries of finding out what the secret code is. So this morning, I have two things for you. Number one, I'm going to tell you the secret of the entire gospel. You're going to get it right here. It's not $19.99. I'm going to give it to you for $19.98, and you can do it in 3 payments. No. The secret of the gospel right there. And then I'm going to tell you how to reveal that secret to others. Okay? How to share it. Okay. So, let's get into it. In Colossians 1. When we see it up on the screen, Paul said, this message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. He's talking about the Jews, the Hebrew nation, which for some reason God selected the Hebrew nation to reveal himself through miracles, through wonders, through provision, through rescue. And that Old Testament is the story of that, okay? That is the story. And he's saying, wait, the conclusion has not been revealed clearly yet. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. Gentiles, everybody is not a Jew, okay? And this is the secret. Can you handle it? You ready? Hey guys, Paul's revealing it right here. Christ lives in you. Boom. That's it. Christ lives in you. That's the secret. I can picture all the people hanging out. Wait, Paul's going to tell us the secret. The secret is Christ lives in you. Oh, well, yeah. We see that. Jesus said that. He said the Holy Spirit would come. The counselor would come. We know that from other letters. Is that a secret? Paul's saying, yes. That was the secret of the first part of the book that wasn't revealed yet. Now, as Christ has come and fulfilled it, you can point to all of those things in the Old Testament that showed who he was and how he'd come and what he'd be like. But the secret has been revealed. Christ lives in you. And then in verse 28, he says, so, or another version will say, therefore, and I think it was Paul one week preaching, where he said, when you see the word therefore, you first ask, what's it there for? Right? That was you, right, Paul? See, I listened to your messages, and I learned. And so what's it there for? What's it there for that he gave the secret? Okay, so what's it there for? So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone that basically, like we've been talking about, the rat race that keeps going leads nowhere. The things that we've been serving that Jesus turned on its head and said, all of those things, rust, bust, turn to dust, and break up in the end, the things that don't matter in the long run. So that warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. That's it. So when we kind of decide in our lives that we're going to, instead of following after, you know, whoever the latest New York Times bestseller leader, you know, selling his book is, when we decide that there's life beyond CrossFit, when we decide there's life, there's another way to live, instead of accumulating all the wealth, accumulating the stuff, when we decide that, hey, what I'm doing and what our society is doing is not working. When I decide that and say, I'm going to follow Christ, I'm going to give this Christ guy a chance. I'm going to join the 2.6 billion people who have decided they're going to do that and call themselves Christians. But we tell them, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom that God has given us. So, all right, with all the wisdom that God has given us. Where do we find that? Probably not on Facebook. Probably not on the History Channel, which has a documentary about how aliens seeded us, you know, 4 billion years ago or whatever. You can believe that, okay. I'm still going to respect you. I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to treat you well. I'm still going to be kind. And I'm not going to clobber you. It's okay. You can believe that. Personally, I don't think that's as strong as what I believe. But I understand faith is hard to prove. And that's why it's faith. That's why it's faith. So that's what we do. Here's the thing. How do you get that Christ living within me? What does that mean? How do we follow Christ? What does it do? In Romans 10:9 and 10, it says, If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, Jesus has the authority, Jesus was the one who was sent by God. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be rescued. You will be saved. You will be set free from that rat race. You will be set free. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Now I know, again, these words that our society, and I used to love Saturday Night Live when it was good, you know, when it was funny. One of the ones I loved was the church lady. Do you guys remember Dana Carvey? I loved her doing the superior dance. And being, is it Satan? And being like, boom, boom, boom. I just would crack up. I would crack up. But our society has taken words and they've kind of made fun of them and devalued them. And saved is one of those words. Because I can immediately see the preacher, the video that in my circle of you, Instagram people that we send funny things to each other. You know, the funny ones where it's those guys who are just like, whew, wow, that's something. And so that word saved has become to our society like a joke. And so it's lost its value because we see, brother, are you saved? And we go, ha ha, that's a funny joke. We see the guy with the sandwich board, repent ye sinner, be saved, you know, and all that. And so we have cartoons. And it's devalued what Christ said. And so what does it mean in today's society? It means that you will be rescued from what we expect in eternity, that you gain heaven, you don't gain it by visiting the prisoners, you don't gain it by giving more to the church, you don't gain it by all these things. You gain it only by faith in Christ alone, is what the book says. And what is that faith? I've declared with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. Why do I believe that? I believe it because when I read the book, this group of 12 men, some of them fishermen, some of them educated, some of them in finances, some of them, I mean, it wasn't an illiterate group. I saw a special on History Channel about that. Jesus, how did this group go from Jesus and a bunch of illiterate, uneducated men to 2.6 billion people? And I went, wait a minute, Luke was a doctor. What are you talking about? In their society, they had education. Yeah, the fishermen knew how to fish, but they were trained in Hebrew law. They knew that. So when we're saved, it's with our heart that we believe and are rescued, are justified. And it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are rescued. So here's the thing. Jesus, the Holy Spirit moves in. Jesus moves in. Father, Son, Holy Spirit moves in. Here's the tough thing. Robin and I live in a small house. Until we refinished the basement, it was 1,040 feet, square feet. We moved there when we had to surrender our 2,400 square foot house that we built in Portland as a result of my needing a liver transplant and losing everything. It's all right. We gained everything. So we live in this little house. We finished off the basement, but we're normally on that same floor. Robin will do her studying for her master's class she's taken, and it's in the one of the back two bedrooms, and I am 25 feet away. And she will say, Scott, I tell you what? What? Anyone about that? What? And I have to get up and go, because we've told our kids grew up like this. We do not yell to each other from other rooms. Robin and I do it constantly. I'm in the bedroom, she's in the kitchen. Honey, have you seen my shoes? And she'll say, I swear I'm kind of that. She hears from me, I'm playing this, so I have to go out. Have you seen my shoes? And she says, yes. Go in, stand in front of the closet, and look down. Because women know where everything is. I saw the comedian Roseanne Barr, when she was doing things, she said, men think that the uterus is a tracking device. We can find everything. And she can. But the point is, we'll be in different rooms in this little house, and I don't hear her, and she doesn't hear me. And Christ can move in and live inside us, and we're not listening to him. We're not hearing from him. We're freaking out, out here in the living room. And rather than get up and go seek his wisdom, his counsel, his peace, we stay out here going, right? So it's not saying that life is suddenly perfect. It's not saying that at all. So, with all the wisdom that God has given us, that's how we share with others. Why would we share with others? Well, if you found, I've had so many friends tell me about CrossFit, tell me about kettlebells. They normally tell me about exercise. I don't know why. I work out, clearly. But they tell me things that they've discovered that they love. And so when we share the gospel, the truth of Christ living in us with people, it's the motivation of not a notch on my belt, not to make my church the biggest, not to blah, 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 but because we love them. And we're like, hey, you know what I found that really works for me? Come see this. This is what really works for me. I don't know all the answers. I don't know what's going on. I'm still a mess. I still look like that at times. But I'm tied into something that's solid, and I'm loving it. So that's why we share. Now, how do we share with others? Put away the hammer and stop clobbering people. 1 Peter 3:15 and 16. But in your heart, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then, if people speak against you, they'll be ashamed and see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. I have an object lesson for you. I am a manly man who knows nothing about tools. To prove my point, I have here a hammer, a drill. Probably shouldn't point that toward me. I had to find a screwdriver. This is how handy I am. This is the only screwdriver I could find in our house. I think you use this end. It's got that little point thing on it with the like stuff that grabs things. It's not called a flathead. I know that one because it's got a flat head. This one is a... What is it, Oliver? It's a pointy head? All right, that's what I call it. Now, here's what I have for you. People today are represented by this piece of wood. And we're all pretty fragile. We're all pretty fragile. Now, we have a choice when it comes to working with this board. I can take out my hammer. take out a big old nail and wail away, pound at it. You people who know tools, what's going to happen? Going to hit my thumb, yeah. Well, if I actually hit the nail and am using a nail and not a screw, because I have been known to try to pound in a screw, what's going to happen? It's going to split. It's going to be damaged. And do you know the same thing is true of people? When we as Christians are trying to beat people over the head with some gospel message of peace, and we're delivering it in such a way that they feel like they're subhuman, and they feel like we feel we're better than them, and they're getting this message of peace while somebody's whacking them with a hammer and shoving something down their throat, you know what they do? They split. See what I did there? They split. Or we could decide we're going to take a screwdriver. I always feel bad for wood when I'm using a screwdriver, because you can almost hear the wood screaming. Ah! You're like turning it, and it's getting harder to turn and harder to turn, and we're like, Jesus loves you. And you are a filthy sinner. And you need to be like me. And they're going, no. No, I don't want that. So, what I think is this is not a drill. When we look and we don't want the wood to split, we have this thing. Now, for you who are under the age of 50, this is a drill, and this plugged in to the electricity. I know now you all carry around things that have a battery and are just like, meow, meow, meow. But I didn't even know those things existed until recently. So when we are using a screwdriver, see, I did a little, and layer by layer, it's coming off. Layer by layer, it's coming off. And I kind of wondered, and I looked, and when I bought this shirt, I bought a bunch of shirts this summer to try to go along with my themes, you know, because you're always like, where do you get that shirt? To go along with my theme, I think sharing the gospel is a little at a time, normally. It's more gentleness and respect. Everybody who's running around convinced that they have to defend God. You know what? If God needs me to defend him, he's not God. So I'm not really getting all wrapped up in that. So that's what I have for you today. The secret? Christ lives in you. Go and share it. And when you share it, remember, gentleness and respect. Put away the hammer. Love people. Respect them. Be gentle. If you're showing them what you've found, it should be because you're excited about what you've found. Let's stand and pray together. Lord, thanks so much for the wisdom you give us in these ancient texts. Thank you so much that if we actually read it, get to know it, start to understand, and if we decide that we're going to live like Christ and do the things that he did, if we're going to serve and love others, even though society says we need to grab everything we have, we need to get to the top, we need to, Lord, if we just turn that on its head and follow Christ, who said the greatest must be the least, and showed us by washing feet. Lord, if we would do the things that he does, that we would love God and love others, Christ would live in us. Lord, even when we're a mess, Father, I pray that we'd go to the back room where Jesus is sitting, meet with him, so that we're not just vaguely hearing from the back room or taking our beliefs from memes and quotes. Lord, we pray this week that you go with us. I just pray, Lord, that you show people that you're real and that you love them. In Jesus' name, amen.